Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
How much power should sites like Twitter and Facebook have in determining what content users see or don't see? And how much responsibility do they bear for how their users behave or are on their platforms? Those were two questions at the heart of today's Senate Commerce Committee hearing about Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Section 230 allows websites to moderate content they find violent, harassing, or otherwise objectionable. But it also says those websites cannot be held liable as publishers. In other words, you can't sue Facebook for false information the same way you may be able to sue a newspaper. While both President Trump and presidential candidate Joe Biden have both said 230 should be revoked, although for different reasons, some Democratic senators today are calling this hearing a sham. And for the latest, let's bring in Sarah Morrison, who's been watching today's hearings for Recode. And Sarah, let's start with the conservative case against Section 230. Here's Republican Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado questioning Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and making the case that big tech is guilty of anti-conservative bias. Let's listen.
Mr. Dorsey, do you believe the Holocaust really happened, yes or no?
Yes.
So you would agree that someone who says the Holocaust may not have happened is spreading misinformation, yes or no?
Yes.
I appreciate your answers on this, but they surprise me and probably a lot of other Coloradans and Americans. After all, Iran's Ayatollah has done exactly this. So it's strange to me that you've flagged the tweets from the president, but haven't hidden the Ayatollah's tweets on Holocaust denial or calls to wipe Israel off the map.
Sarah, how did Dorsey defend Twitter's policies here?
Jack Dorsey said that basically not all misinformation is flagged or deleted by Twitter. I think anybody who's used Twitter can probably agree with that. It's really only mis or disinformation that is manipulated media, concerns public health, or concerns, you know, elections and voting that violate that policy. And the tweets from the Ayatollah of Iran didn't do that.
As we mentioned, it's not just conservatives who take issue with Section 230. Joe Biden told the New York Times editorial board last year that Section 230 should be revoked because Facebook is, quote, propagating falsehoods they know to be false and it's totally irresponsible. Yet Democrats did not seem as keen to take up Section 230 today, with Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii calling the hearing a hit job and a sham. What reason did he give?
Well, several Democratic senators, including Schatz, have said that, you know, the hearing and the timing of it is really more about bullying platforms into letting Trump and others tweet misinformation freely without, you know, getting fact checks or whatever on them. And so that's just really a way for Republicans to amplify like an anti-Biden or pro-Trump content that they believe social media platforms have unfairly censored. And then this is coming days before an election that where that kind of content could influence an outcome.
You know, the pitfalls of Section 230 made news just a few years ago, folks might remember, because it was used to defend Backpage.com. That was a website featuring ads for child sex trafficking. But as many have pointed out, without Section 230, websites could also be liable for every lie or illegal activity someone posts on those sites. I mean, you can imagine the avalanche of lawsuits there. So, Sarah, if Section 230 does get revoked, what would this mean for the Internet as we know it? Would websites like Facebook and Twitter even exist?
Well, Senator Moran sort of alluded to this. He said, you know, the moderation that these platforms do is very expensive. I think the CEO said they spend actually billions on this. How could a small company ever be able to do this? And so I've seen that point made by him and others that, you know, if Section 230 were just revoked outright, then a company like Facebook or Google may have the money to survive this, but would anybody else, right? Like, how could a small company be able to do the moderation at the scale that they would need to? And Mark Zuckerberg actually made the point that Facebook wouldn't have been able to exist in the first place without the Section 230 protections. So, I mean, in terms of the Internet as we know it today, what would happen? I think we wouldn't just see the sites just disappear. I think we would see them just not moderate anything at all, which is, you know, an internet that I think most people really don't want anymore.
Based on what you heard today, do you think Section 230 is an area where we will see any bipartisan reform?
I do, because we heard politicians from both sides, you know, the ones who weren't like using this to grandstand. We see them sort of say that they think maybe having more transparency or clarity around moderation decisions or rules or recourse for people to appeal them, that might be something that would help. There have been a couple bipartisan bills about Section 230, actually one that became law, which regards this back page case you referred to. So it's not unrealistic to think we can see something in the future. I think what that looks like would depend on the results of the election. We could also see reforms come not through Section 230 legislation, but like antitrust that might make it so there's competition, you know, like more of these platforms can exist. And then you get, you know, people can choose which ones they want, which moderate the way they want them to.
Sarah Morrison covers tech for Recode. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.